In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Richard Battle joining us as he does every Wednesday at this same time. Richard, are you warm and is the power on in Texas?
Well, John, it's so cold in Texas, the politicians have their hands in their own pockets today.
That's a cold day, sir.
I'm blessed to have power. I have so many friends and relatives who have suffered for 2 or 3 days, and most of us have been iced in for 3 or 4 days to this point, but better days are ahead.
I have not looked at the forecast for your area. I pay too much attention to what we have going on here with the business I own and what I do here. What is it looking like for you guys here in the near future? Is a warm-up in store, or where are you at that way?
Well, we've got one more round of snow we're expecting this evening, and then we'll get above freezing starting tomorrow and go from there and be okay. 70 degrees within 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, and I again, our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to folks in Texas. I think I read this morning, Richard, there's been some 20 lives, I think, already lost, and who knows how many more they may find when this is all said and done. And I'll be honest, I was mad the last several days. I'm a little better today, but I was so mad the last couple of days that in a first world country like the United States of America, that you guys in the great state of Texas are in that predicament, because frankly, you shouldn't be.
Well, that is true, and there's no excuse for it. I'm hoping that this is a wake-up call.
Me too.
That will help us return to sanity and return to a reliable energy source and not go out on this limb that we've had cut off behind us with these renewable sources that are not reliable in this
nope.
adverse conditions.
That's exactly right. All right, let's talk about, though, President Trump's presidency in the rearview mirror, the three T's preventing political progress. And we've seen, even the last couple of days, Richard, there's still a lot going on in the there's always something going on in both parties, but in the Conservative Party, there's still a lot of things going on in this regard. And to your point, we've got to figure out how to move forward.
Well, absolutely. And the three T's that I recognize were unity, liability, and ability. And there are three things, and there's two secrets behind two of the three of them that I think people need to be aware of as they contact their elected officials and see what's going on in their area and in the country.
All right, let's get into it. The first one being unity.
Well, yes, and there was unity at the inaugural speech, but we haven't heard or seen much of that since then. And one analogy I think that is so telling is how the Allies treated Germany differently after World War One versus World War Two. And after World War One, they were very punitive. They made them pay a lot of money, restricted their freedoms, made them admit guilt, and there was a seething resentment in Germany that precipitated World War Two in reality. Mm. Whereas after World War Two, except for the Nuremberg trials, the way the Allies helped rebuild Germany, it helped them become the country that they are today. And the difference in how they were treated is so stark, and that is a great example for what we should be doing now in this country.
Great point. That's a great point. In fact, we as a country did the same thing with Japan after, literally wiping two cities in Japan off the map.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The only difference in the analogy was the lack of World War One
right.
in that area, but how we treated them was differently.
Yep.
And LBJ, when he got elected, he had opponents in his cabinet, and his theory was, I'd rather have them in the tent peeing out than outside the tent peeing in.
Yeah, good point.
And if we remember Abraham Lincoln, he had his team of rivals, so he kept them close to him. But we're not seeing any of that to this stage. We're seeing more of the World War One with Germany type policies.
Right. No, you are 100% correct, Richard. We actually see more. I mean, this is, maybe I'm giving the wrong analogy here, but I see more eye poking than I do. You know, hey, let's put an arm around each other and figure how we can move forward. No, it is a direct poke in the eye in a lot of cases. I mean, Richard, even to the point where I really feel like our current HHS director, you know, being a transgender individual, which I'm going to talk about later in the show today, but to me, that was just a huge poke in the eye. It's not helping bring unity any way, shape, or form.
Well, it is, and of course, the question is it on purpose, or are they just trying to fill out the slots based on all the different boxes to be checked?
Probably both.
It's probably both, because I cannot believe they don't know how offensive it is to the opposition to be doing that.
I think, to your point, I do think there's boxes they're trying to get checked, which, again, back to your number one, unity doesn't help in the unity end of things. It's all we're doing is checking boxes. That doesn't get us where we need to go. And then on top of that, if you know it's going to infuriate the other side and yet you still do it, you're not there for unity.
Absolutely.
All right, next one, liability.
Well, and this has to go with why businesses and schools are not opening as rapidly as they could when governments will allow them to do so. And to me, this all has to do with liability of lawsuits based on COVID. And we don't hear about it very often, and the Republicans last year tried to include it in the COVID relief bills, was to change the liability standard from negligence to gross negligence. And the difference there is, and they wanted to do it for 4 years, but the difference to a business is monumental when your in-house attorney's counseling you about your liability and risk of lawsuits, because gross negligence has a willful deceit element to it, which means you willfully deceive somebody, whereas negligence can be accidental. And there are so many schools and businesses that are hesitant to open because of those liabilities of those lawsuits.
I agree. And by the way, those are things that we don't hear on Rush to Reason probably talk near enough about, but it's not in a lot of cases, Richard, where the businesses don't want to be open. In most cases, they do. And they're going along with a lot of the restrictions inside of that business, all because of what you just said a moment ago. So it's not always that, it's the business's desire to do those things. In a way, they're being forced to. They have no choice.
Yes, absolutely. And I can speak from my corporate career, to where there were certain times contracts were entered into or not just because of that one word, gross, in there or not being in there.
That's right. All right, let's talk about ability.
Well, ability has to go with the minimum wage. And we keep seeing people talk about raising the minimum wage. And we saw Tom Cotton and Mitt Romney today introduce legislation to do that to the $15 an hour. And if your area is like mine, I see school bus drivers starting at $20 an hour, cashiers at barbecue restaurants starting at $14 and $15 an hour, and the minimum wage is $7.25, and you think, well, why do we need to raise it if they're already paying so much above it?
Right.
And it all has to do with union contracts. And most union contracts have stipulations that tie union scale to the minimum wage. So anytime the minimum wage is raised, union contracts are automatically increased. And that's why they go to the mat fighting for increases in minimum wage, even when it's not really necessary.
Makes total sense. And what you're saying is, make sure everybody's following that, is when they do that increase, they don't have to go back to the negotiating table to make more money on that contract. It's just an automatic fulfillment. It just happens.
Absolutely. And what the effect of that is, it's good for the union worker because their wages go up, but it increases the cost on every project that has union labor.
That's right.
And so we, the taxpayer, on public projects, which especially now are going to be union projects, will end up having to pay more money when it's not necessarily needed.
Agreed. All right, give us a story out of Navigating Life's Journey. By the way, folks, you can buy that book on Amazon, Navigating Life's Journey. Give us a positive, uplifting story, if you would, Richard.
Well, I think the one I'd like to share today is my friend Dan Marcinick, who was a framing contractor, a man's man, who had a heart for service. And after fixing a person's flat, a stranger's, one day on the side of the road, he decided he wanted to serve people more than he did as a contractor. And went back to 8 years of school and became a nurse. And during this COVID pandemic, he has been serving people in hospitals in COVID areas. But it showed how it's never too late to chase a dream. It's never too late to help other people. And so with even these things going on with COVID and the weather and all the political things, there are opportunities out there for all of us, depending on what is put onto our heart to help other people.
Well said, Richard. As always, I always appreciate you being with us. It's a joy to have you each week. And folks, again, Richard Battle, Navigating Life's Journey. Richard, I always enjoy it. Have a fabulous week, and hopefully you'll get warmed up here.
Well, we hope so. We enjoy it as well, and we say God bless America.
Thanks, Richard. Take care. Have a fabulous evening. Roof Max is next. Dave Hart. And folks, he would love to help you with not only if you've got a shingle that needs fixed or a leak, something along those lines. He can do that for you, give you a free roof inspection, but also revitalize, rejuvenate your roof at the same time, thereby making it last a lot longer. It's simple. Give Dave a call, 303-710-6916. Again, 303-710-6916.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
All right, Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers, my good friend, my mortgage broker. He would love to help you with whatever you've got going on in your world mortgage-wise. And what I mean by that is if you're just wanting an analysis of where you're at now and how you could save money, he'll do that. If you're thinking of doing a different type of mortgage, pulling some equity out, doing some things around the house, he can do that as well. You can also ask about the asset manager loan, especially if you're self-employed. Or maybe you're looking to do an investment property and want to take some of your equity and do that. Again, any of those things he can help you with, give him a call directly, 720-895-0500. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Register now for a free workshop with KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey. Thursday, February 18th at 6:30 p.m., dinner included. Reserve your seat at klzradio.com/estate.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, just walked in.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm glad you showed up.
Well, thank you.
Actually, I really am. I mean that sincerely because, you know, passing of Rush Limbaugh today, I had a few things in my notes today to just sort of talk about him. And, of course, it's always easier to talk about that with somebody else that probably has the same appreciation for him that I do. Now, I will say this right up front. Did I listen to Rush every single day religiously? No. I listened to him a lot over the years, but I wasn't one of those, you know, rabid, you know, listen every day kind of a guys. I did listen to him a lot, and I felt like he... Well, I not felt like he did a ton, not only for conservative radio, talk radio in general, but also for this country, despite what folks like Huffington Post and others may think.
Right.
I think he did a ton for this country.
I believe Rush Limbaugh was the greatest voice for liberty since Lincoln.
I won't deny that.
I mean that. He is the most powerful voice for liberty. Not just of our generation, but of many generations. I think he changed my life. And
in what way?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to start. But, you know, here's the big thing. And I'll give you a story on it in a sec. But first, Rush didn't just know liberty. He didn't just know all about America. He loved liberty. He loved America. He loved it more than he loved himself or than anything else. And he wanted people to know that. And that was his great passion. And That's what blew me away is not only did he have this incredible passion, but he also had this incredible talent. Rush Limbaugh had the greatest delivery.
Mm-hmm.
The way he delivered his lines. You know, I study messaging. I study all these things. And the way he measured his phrasing, the way he measured his tone, you know, more here, less there and everything. John, it was like taking a class every time I listened to him. And yes, I am a ditto head. Yeah. I listened for years.
No, and everything you just said is exactly correct. And I, you know, even early on before I ever thought I'd be sitting in this chair, you know, listening to him and just to your point, the way he, you know, shuffled papers and did things with his hands, it's almost like, and he was a master at this, you almost felt like you were in the studio with him.
Right. That's exactly right. It was like he was trying to say, look, guys, I'm normal.
Right.
Okay, I know I'm big. I get it. And, you know, all these people who didn't
understand. He wasn't always, by the way.
No.
He worked his way up to that.
Right. But all these people, John, who thought, well, he'd say all these arrogant things, they didn't get it. That's the shtick.
Yeah, it's
it
just,
was
it's
a total
show.
Shtick.
It's a show, folks.
A total show. You know, and I got to meet Bo Snerdley, who really liked my stuff, by the way, which was really nice. It was interesting. I had a long talk with him.
Cool.
And we talked about the party of choice. But Bo Snerdley, you know, he would talk about Rush, too, and say, unbelievably gentle, kind, loving man in person.
Opposite of what's on air.
Yeah, opposite mm-hmm. of his persona. And
very
that's,
typical.
That's very common.
Very typical.
Right.
Another one of those individuals and kind of the opposite of Rush Limbaugh is Howard Stern.
Right.
Very much not like he is on air.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. And, you know, a lot of times people are much better at being something else on the stage or on air than what they are.
Right.
And that's very common. Now, you want to hear my Rush story?
Yeah.
Do I have time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I was just going to read Huffington Post headline, but do that first.
Okay. As you know, raised a liberal. And when I was going to Colorado Christian University, this is when, you know, I'd already become a Christian and I was becoming a conservative at that time. And I was going through the process of thinking through all the issues. Well, then somebody had me listen to Rush Limbaugh, and I listened to him. And it wasn't just, you know, he was making a lot of points that I had already thought through just because I was grappling with them at the time. But what blew my mind was his delivery. I could not believe how powerful, how concise, how impactful he was, and how well he related. And what it was, what really got me was this. My gosh, I have never heard anybody out there speaking what's in my heart like this. Well, here's the big thing. I became a conservative, and I became a Republican. I became very on fire for it while I was there. And this is at the time when CCU, as I've told you,
right.
was incredibly liberal.
Right.
Very liberal. And so, you know, a lot of people know this. On the day when I was to get my diploma, I and a number of other guys went in and we said, we're not going to walk the aisle at the church that where you have this and get our diplomas from you and go there with the cap and gown and do all that. Because you're a liberal institution and you won't tell people you are. You won't tell your donor churches that you are. Okay? We're going to take our diplomas that we've earned. You can mail those to us. On that day, We will be up in Fort Collins at Dan's Bake Sale listening to Rush Limbaugh in person. And that's exactly what we did.
Well done.
So for our graduation, we drove up to Fort Collins, got there early because the lines of cars, it was blocked everywhere. And we got to see him. He was great. He did an awesome job in person. Because I always wondered, would he be good just giving a speech rather than being on air? He was just as good, just as natural, just as good, just as funny.
Awesome.
And we partied away with Rush Limbaugh. It was wonderful.
Well, and literally, folks, whether you like him or not, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, and I kind of figured this would be the way it is with Rush passing, and that is every liberal out there is, of course, jumping for joy and being totally ridiculous in the comments. Earlier today, Huffington Post, they had a headline, and I don't know exactly what it said. Charlie, maybe you can remember, but they've changed it because currently it says, Rush Limbaugh, bigoted king of talk radio, dies at 70. They had a much harsher description of Rush in their original headline. Bigoted, misogynist, homophobe, Rush Limbaugh dies. That was the original headline. They've since changed that, by the way, because I'm looking at it right now, and it is different from what he and I read no more than 2 hours ago, you know, before I ever came on air today. As soon as I got in the building, Charlie and I were looking at some of that stuff. So even they've changed their headline, probably, I don't know if somebody complained or what, but give me a break, people.
You know, one of the main things about Rush is that he understood the hate of the left.
Oh, he did.
You know, I knew it all the time because I knew it behind closed
doors. You came from it.
I knew, yeah, and not just, you know, I'm not just talking family. I was in those crowds, those circles. And I knew behind closed doors how bitterly they hated America, how bitterly they blamed America for everything, how bitterly they hated, you know, white men, the military, and, you know, oil companies and all of it. I had never heard anyone until Rush Limbaugh tap into that and say how much these people live on hate. He says it's all they do. He says, and that's why they call me a bigot, racist, homophobe, and all these things. Why? He says, only because of this. I don't coddle.
That's right.
And give preferential treatment to the groups they want me to give it to. And to them, that's hate. Fair treatment is hate. Okay. I had never had anybody reach me in the way Rush did with that message.
Guy is, by the way, he's been spot on. We've appreciated him being on air all these years. And I do mean it when I say he, and I don't think anybody even on the left can deny the fact of what he did when it came to, you know, conservative radio. Now, of course, the left will say that he's the only reason the conservative party exists today. I think Rush had a lot to do with propping it up and getting it where it is today, but it would have existed without him either way. So
I think he'd be the first one to say that.
I think they're giving him far too much credit in that, and you're right, he would say that. But did he do a lot of great things and help the party in many, many ways and help spread the word and even make it cool to be a conservative? Yes, Rush did that.
Absolutely. And he also launched our conservative dominance of talk radio.
Yep. Yeah. What he did was when they got rid of the Fairness Act, really he lit on fire, expanded, did lots of things in that regard. And of course, that opened up the door for many other, you know, stations like ours even to do what we do today. And again, hats off to Rush Limbaugh. We would not be doing what we're doing today if some pioneers like him hadn't done it prior.
Yep. All I'll say is this. Rest in peace, Rush. Yeah. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yep, exactly. Andy, I appreciate that. Purify Shirley's up next, folks, and they want to help you buy that new or used car or truck. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Andy and I did, where there's some tactics dealers use at times where they will literally make you hostage to where you can't leave the dealership. And you guys think I'm crazy, but, you know, it happens. In fact, there's articles out there right now talking about the same practice happening in today's world. It's not that way at Purify Chevrolet, folks. You just go up there, buy a car. It's friendly. It's literally like walking back in time.
And it's like walking into your family's house.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. It really is. They treat you just like family, and they're part of our family. So purifychevrolet.com is where you shop, or call 303-659-8311.
You know, when I go into Purefoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purefoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purefoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith would love to help you when you plan for the future, or as you plan for the future, I should say. And we've talked about that a little bit earlier in the 3 o'clock hour. Everything else in life is important. So are your finances. Talk to Al today. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a two-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Register now for a free retirement planning workshop with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial at the Littleton Cafe. Dinner included, Thursday, February 18th at 6:30 p.m. Sign up now at klzradio.com/money.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Andy, and Charlie. Joe, our caller, joining us now. Joe, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm good. John and Andy, yourselves?
Good, good.
Good. Hey, what did Andy say about hatred, about liberals and hate? I think liberals love to hate.
It's the fuel in their tank, man. It's their jet fuel.
And John, I think I've heard you say, that liberalism is a sickness?
I call it a mental illness, yes.
Mental illness. I have never seen.
I don't know about the word mental, but go ahead. Go ahead, Joe.
John, if you saw the email that there are three, all the liberal websites have posted things, and literally thousands of liberals are posting these hateful, vindictive.
I've read them.
I'm glad he's dead.
Yep.
So my question is, how sick and pathetic is your life that you go on a website and here's 1,500 other people expressing their joy at Limbaugh's death, and you feel you need to be number 1,501? What is it about your life that's going to make you feel better?
You're so important you can comment and it's going to make any difference, Joe? Great question.
Joe, your hate defines you at that point. It is your defining quality. It's all that matters to you. It is your life. It is your friend everywhere you go.
So if you can stick one more dagger in, you're good.
Right. And you know what? By the way, Joe, you listen all the time when we do our Friday afternoon movie segment, right?
Most of the time.
Most of the time. You hear it a lot. Well, we talk about a lot of actors who are very liberal, and yet what do? We praise them for their craft and the greatness of how good they are at what they do. Samuel Jackson despises us, but we praise how great he is at acting and so forth. These people are not praising Rush for the greatness of his craft.
No, they're glad he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're reveling in his death.
Yep.
And, who was it said, hate the sin but love the sinner? Where does that biblical quote come from? Was that?
It's not a biblical quote, but it's been said an awful lot.
Sort of a church standard, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Now, there are politicians I despise, absolutely despise. But let's say if AOC got hit by a bus tomorrow.
I would be sad.
I would say, I would be sad.
Yes.
And I certainly wouldn't feel the need to, number one, I wouldn't be overjoyed at it. And number two, I would certainly wouldn't be posting.
Thank you, Joe.
Well,
yes.
Glad,
thank you.
You know, I wouldn't say glad that, you know,
right.
Glad that B is dead. You wouldn't.
No,
I wouldn't.
We would never do that, Joe. That's not how our brains work. That's why I call liberalism a mental illness.
Yeah, because it just boggles my mind that literally thousands of liberals within an hour of learning of that felt the need to add their name to this long list of hateful, vindictive, spiteful comments celebrating his death. So it just I can't wrap my mind around. So,
Joe, anyway, I appreciate the call. We got our guest joining us now, Drew Allen. Joe, as always, I appreciate it very much. Drew Allen joining us now, a political analyst and actually Texas-bred, California-based. Drew, how does that work? You went from a good state to a bad one?
Do you still eat meat, Drew?
I do. My wife does not, but she's not a liberal, so that's
the okay.
lining.
All right. We'll give her a pass then.
That's right. But you're right. Everyone's leaving California for Texas, and I'm out here. I figured I'd stick around and maybe teach them, you know, what works there.
Well, okay. You know what? We still need some true patriots and folks willing to go in and make change where change is needed. And yeah, I mean, if everybody left, we're really in trouble. So no, go at it. You're a good man. Keep doing it.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about the Conservative Party, or in your case, meet the new Republican Party. And you heard us talking a moment ago even about some of the things going on today in the world with, you know, Rush passing away and some of what the liberals are doing and so on. I hope that we don't hear that same vitriol out of Republicans.
No, I don't think you will. I was listening to the segment before, of course, and we don't suffer from the same mental illness because we're not liberals. And I got to say, you know, in terms of Rush, though, I'm 34 years old. And that speaks to his greatness, because I've been reeling all day, really. I feel like I got punched in the gut. And, you know, that's a testament to Rush. You know, my dad texted me and said, I feel like I knew him. And I think that was his bond with his audience.
Agree. Yes. Yes. He's just masterful at what he did and taught a lot of other great conservative, you know, talk shows how to do it. You know, myself included, Drew. And I think, again, we in this world and this business owe a lot of gratitude to him. And I think our party owes a lot of gratitude to him in helping us get where we're at. I mean, you know, Drew, he was not afraid, and this is where I'm afraid if we don't continue down this path, it's going to hurt us as conservatives. But he was not afraid to call people out when they were not doing things the way they should be.
That's right. And in many ways, Trump did that in his own way as well. He was willing, like Reagan, I think, as well, to say what needed to be said, not what people wanted to hear.
Right.
And we've really got to resist that now with the Mitch McConnells and whatnot, who are really trying to take back this party. There's always this movement, which is so stupid and suicidal. You get somebody like Reagan, who's the most popular president in history, and he grows the base. And then he moves on, and what happens to the party? They lurch back to moderation. And then Trump grows the base, does amazing things, and there's this movement to lurch back away from it again. And today we're in this crisis where the Democrat Party truly is revealing their Marxist hand and how awful and frankly evil their intentions are for
this
country.
Yes.
And we don't need pastel colors, right, like Reagan condemned. We need to be bold. They're America last. We got to be America first. They're the anti-Constitution Party. We got to stand for the Constitution Party. And if we don't do that, we're going to lose the opportunity of a lifetime to get all these disgruntled Democrats and agnostics, I call them, that are independents, who are sitting here saying, where do we go? They're looking for a home, and we can be that home for them, but not if Mitch McConnell has his way.
Hey, Drew, let me ask you something about some of these people who have turned against Trump. And, I mean, we're talking about some otherwise intelligent people, right? Mitt Romney is an intelligent guy. Liz Cheney, intelligent. And yet, did you ever think, Drew, that you would see such intelligent people become so emotional, so triggered, so embittered and enraged at one individual in their party that they would throw away their entire political futures to attack him?
What it represents to me, John, which is what we can seize as an opportunity today, is that I think people are opening their eyes, especially young people, to the fact that there's a new war and a new kind of formation brewing, and that is Washington, D.C. establishment versus the American people. And Mitch McConnell, Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, these people are, it's partisanship. The Democrat Party doesn't care anything about America. It's all party. Their loyalties to the Democrat Party, mm-hmm. not to America.
That's right.
Well, Mitt Romney and Mitch McConnell and Liz Cheney, their loyalty is to themselves, not to America. And we've got to get rid of that, because if we don't, we're going to lose. I mean, we can't win when half of our force is made of Benedict Arnold's.
Agree.
What does it say when Liz Cheney cannot draw the kind of crowds in Wyoming that Matt Gaetz drew when he went to Wyoming to protest Liz Cheney?
Right.
Well, that goes to your point, which is brilliant, which is how can these seemingly intelligent people who are able to hold these seats in Congress be so stupid to ignore the obvious signs that the message that works and wins is the Trump message, the Matt Gaetz message? You know, that's the message that resonates mm-hmm. with the American people. It's very strange, but, you know, the problem is Washington, D.C., you know, the Department of Agriculture, why can't it be in Nebraska or something? Every single one of these bureaucracies is walking distance from one place to the other. They all belong to the same country clubs, play golf.
That's right.
So, you know, they might belong to the Republican Party, but they go and play golf and dine with their Marxist comrades. And
right.
so they don't really care. They're totally unattached. You know, I mean, this country is upside down from its founding. You look at what they're doing with the Second Amendment now and all that sort of stuff, which is working like clockwork. But what right do they even have to do it? All this discussion about, you know, oh, let's pass laws to make it harder to acquire guns for the American citizens. Why is the discussion even about, oh, well, maybe this law is okay, maybe this is not to, like, you know, keep us from, you know, exercising our rights? I mean, we have these rights that are written in stone, like the Bible, which is our Constitution, and they can't do it. The discussion should simply be full stop. Sorry. If you want to, there's a process for this to amend the Constitution. If you want to go down that route, mm-hmm. do it that way. But we shouldn't even be having a discussion in this country
nope.
about our free speech or our Second Amendment rights. I mean, those are non-starters.
I agree. And to answer both of you guys' question, you know, Drew and Andy both, this is my answer to why do politicians act that way? Because frankly, and I've interviewed a lot of these folks, Drew, we don't have the brightest with the best minds and the best intellect that at times, you know, run for office and get elected. We have folks that know how to win elections, and that's about where it stops in some cases. Because if you're telling me today that somehow, some way, Maxine Waters has a higher intellect than I do, Drew, I'll let you have this show.
No, you're right. Her and AOC are battling out for who has the lowest single-digit IQ.
Agree. And I, to me, that's not a derogatory thing to say. It's just the facts. It's the truth.
But AOC was triggered by events a couple blocks away. What are you talking about, Drew?
Right. I know. I saw her own conspiracy theory narrative that didn't happen about, you know, this isn't to say, you know, what happened wasn't awful, but, you know, everyone was there. We all know that she just has to exaggerate everything
right.
and turn herself into
right.
a victim. And it's frankly disgusting. You know, I think in one of the things she said on that little quick, FaceTime style recording she did was talking about it brought back these traumatic experience of her with men.
Right.
And how offensive is that to women in this country who actually have been through similar situations for her to bring that up and take advantage of it? They're so disgusting. They're unbound for morality.
I agree. Drew, last question. Andy, I think Andy's got a question too, but question I have for you, and this I know maybe might even have to have you back and even discuss this further, because this is probably a pretty deep subject deep topic I'm going to ask, and that is, where are our brightest and our best and those with the highest intellect? I'm talking on the conservative side, because I really don't care what the left ends up having. But the reality is, I know I've interviewed folks over the years, and I will tell you, Drew, that in a lot of cases, even we as a party, we do not have our sharpest individuals on the front lines running for office. How do we fix that?
Well, that's going to come from people who have some sort of influence, whether it's grassroots or people like yourselves who have attachment to some of those strings. Because here's the problem as well. the Democrat Party, they attract totalitarians, right? Their thinking is such that they attract men like Napoleon Bonaparte who want power beyond what they could even attain in our system of government. But people like me, I'm only in this position now because I'm so disgusted with what's going on in this country. Everything else I do is frivolous. So I want to make sure this country remains for my posterity. But I'm not looking to become famous. I'm not looking for power. That's not of interest to me. I just want freedom and equality and to fulfill the original charter of this country. So we've got to search out and find these people that have the moral backbone to do what's right, because people like myself and others who are young, you know, we're not really seeking that out. And Mitch McConnell's certainly not seeking me out when I sit here and bash his name. You think he wants to give me money to run for Congress like that? And the second problem that I've been saying to older Republicans I've been talking to, whether they're in organizations in Palm Desert, because I live in California, or elsewhere, is this. The Mitch McConnell problem is worse than you may think, because what it does is it prevents people like me or others who are freedom-loving Americans from entering the realm of politics, okay? AOC gets put on the cover of Vanity Fair. I'm not saying I want to be put on the cover of Vanity Fair or anyone like me does, but the point is they circle their wagons and defend their own. Who wants to get involved in a Republican Party that basically handcuffs their own, brings them into the brig, and locks them up like they did with Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Yeah.
Okay, really quick, two comments and a question. John, the best and brightest, they are all found in Wisconsin. First of all,
it's the cheese. It's the cheese.
That's
that
where
does
I'm
that.
From, Drew.
It does
just
the
so
cheese.
You know.
Yeah.
And secondly, Drew, I will pledge to buy Vanity Fair if you're on it. Just want you to know. I want to make that very clear.
Okay.
And thirdly, Drew, really quick, a question. In the past, pre-Trump, the establishment has always held on to power when these kinds of fissures developed. But in the next 2 years, what do you predict happens with the Republican Party? I mean, are we looking at the party of Gates or the party of Cheney?
I have to believe we're looking at the party of Gates. To believe anything else is to imagine Rush Limbaugh passing every day for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So I can't go down that route. I do think there's something special happening in the country right now. And unfortunately, we do have to, well, we can't wait. You know, we've got to take action now to primary some of these people and whatnot.
Right.
But we've got to survive the next 2 years if we're going to resolve this in a political manner.
Agree. And agree. No, you're right. Drew, yeah. Drew, how do folks find you?
They can find me at drewallen.substack.com.
Okay. Drew, I appreciate it. We'll have you back. Good conversation. I appreciate it, sir.
Anytime. My pleasure, John.
You bet. Have a great afternoon, sir. Bruce Simmons is up next. He's our reverse mortgage specialist. We talked to Bruce here just yesterday, actually. Great guy. He'd love to help you with whatever you've got going on. And he'll explain a lot when it comes to reverse mortgages, which there's a lot of myths out there. So go to klzradio.com, find him there, or call 303-467-7821.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home, providing a source of guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in the house. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
A good shop, folks. And if you're looking to get something done on your vehicle, you've been in a collision, or you just want to get some things fixed up because you're going to keep the vehicle and keep driving it, or maybe you've got a vehicle you're going to fix up for a family member, a child, something along those lines. A good shop can help you on any of those levels. Three locations to serve you. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to improve because they want to help more people. Al Sturm started A Good Shop because he saw a need. Back when he worked as an insurance adjuster, Al got a call from a confused customer looking for some help after a collision. Once Al had walked him through his insurance claim, this customer wanted to know what he should do next. Al told him, "The first thing you do is find a good shop." Even back then, Al saw the way corporate conglomerates ran the auto body industry. They dictated the process, so their customers didn't have much of a choice. Al wanted to give his customers options. Today, Al and his team at A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City keep on finding new ways to control the quality of their work so they can provide an alternative to the big guys. After a collision, the first thing you do is find a good shop. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. John from Cheyenne, I know you were listening earlier and I think tried to call in about Rush Limbaugh. Feel free to do so, or anybody else that wants to call. We got a few minutes left here of this hour that we can talk, myself and Andy. And then, of course, next hour, we're going to have a special guest, Richard Giordano. He's been on with us before in the past many times, but he's going to be joining us this first half hour. And you know, he's an old school principal, Boulder Valley School District. Great guy, and really has an understanding of what goes on in our school system today. And we're just going to talk about transgenderism in schools.
Sounds like fun.
And how awful that is. It'll be enlightening. Let's just say that.
Are you taking a shot at how I dress when I come in here?
No, Andy, never.
Oh, thank you.
Never. It will be. Here's what I'm going to say. A lot of you that is sort of like yesterday when we were talking about, you know, or I guess it was Monday, I was talking about what Black Lives Matter was teaching the first week of February in most public school education, even if they were learning from home.
Right.
That most parents probably didn't realize they were even learning. This will be a similar type of topic where you may not even know your kid's learning this, but they are.
It's shocking. It really is. And by the way, it's shameful to use tax dollars to spread that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I'll go as far as to say this. We're using tax dollars to promote the mental illness of transgenderism. Yes, it's a mental illness, folks. Sorry, if you don't know what you are sex-wise, you have a mental problem. Plain and simple. And yes, Rush said that as well, and I am also.
There are two genders. I'm sorry.
That's it.
There are two sexes.
There are two. And if you don't understand what you are, you have a mental problem and you need help. That's how I view it. No, putting on a dress as a boy doesn't fix it. Putting on a pair of, you know, jeans and a, you know, whatever man shirt you want to wear as a woman doesn't fix it.
So if I wanted to put on an evening gown and then go out and compete in women's college sports, you'd be against that?
I guess, yeah, I'm against it. But, you know, here in Colorado, I think Chassa's for it. John and Cheyenne, you're up. What's going on?
Hey, John.
Hey. I remember when I was home on leave in the late 80s and I was flipping radios in my dad's car because I didn't have a car. I was home on leave. I hit WABC, which was the music station. I'll throw you an Andy trivia. Throughout the whole movie Dirty Dancing, when you ever heard the radio, that was the station they were rebroadcasting.
Was it really?
It was like New York's number one radio station. And I flipped on to, you know, just see what's going on. And here it is, Rush Limbaugh. First time I heard him, late 80s. Wow. I was like, who is this guy?
Wow.
And I was like, wow. And he, yeah, they brought him in and flipped a format that was around from the 50s, from AM Top 40 radio to all talk, and it was amazing. And I just look back, and you had to take Rush knowing that half the time he was trying to be funny.
That's right.
Even when he was serious, he was trying to be funny and make you laugh just for a minute.
Yeah. Well, and anybody else in that industry, John, a lot of times, you know, I don't do a lot of that here. I'm not trying to put on a show or have any kind of shtick, and I'm pretty much the same guy outside of the show as here. But on the same token, there are things we do here at times to make radio interesting and fun. It's what you do in this world.
Well, yeah, that's why I used to like Sean Hannity years ago when he first came around. But he has gotten so, I don't know how to word it.
Blowhorn?
He's just so, everything is about him. And it, you know, he'll have a guest on, and the first 5 minutes of that guest being in the studio will be him yammering on, and then he'll give the guest 2 seconds. If you got a guest coming on, especially a good guest,
let him talk.
I want to hear the guest. I don't want to hear. If I want to hear John, we'll listen like now when you don't have a guest. But you don't interrupt the guest. And what was amazing is a couple of weeks ago, when Larry King died, it was the same thing. If you ever look back on his style, he never interrupted guests.
Right, right.
He let them have their speak, and. I think that's kind of like a lost art, you know, with interviewers. They want to, you know, it's all of a sudden it's about them. And it was never about, it was about Rush in the tongue-in-cheek way. Oh, talent on loan from God,
right.
Things he said like that.
Right.
If you took that literally, but when I saw some of those posts about him dying and people being happy, I just said a prayer. I said, Lord, show them the right way to grieve. If you got nothing. What was the old thing? If you got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing.
Exactly.
Your mother used to tell you that.
Yep.
You know, walk away from it. But, you know, it's just like there's it would be like us if, God forbid. And
John, I got to cut you off. Yeah. I got to run. Sorry. We're up against a hard break. I appreciate it, though. You're a good man. Thanks for your kind words. Franktown Firearms is next, folks. Find him at klzradio.com.
Before you actually start carrying a firearm, you need to develop the mindset of safety. Whether you consider yourself an experienced shooter or if you've never shot a gun, head trainer Karen Murray recommends signing up for the basic concealed carry class at Franktown Firearms first, because everyone has bad habits to break. You need to start with the basics, but you also can't walk out of a CCW class with a gun strapped to your hip thinking you're Jack Bauer. Once you've registered for your concealed carry permit, come back to Franktown Firearms for Karen's tactical pistol course to put your skills into practice. Karen will teach you the 6 steps to proper holster draw, giving you the chance to practice situational awareness in a safe environment. Karen loves watching her students leave her tactical pistol course at Franktown Firearms wearing their guns in their holsters for the first time. Register for a class now at klzradio.com/Franktown. Confidence through practice.
All right, folks, and that's going to be it for this hour. Again, if you missed the first hour, catch it tonight at 6 o'clock. Otherwise, Richard Giordano is going to join us here in just a moment, and we're going to talk transgenderism. Andy, thanks for stopping by.
You bet.
I appreciate it very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Everybody stay safe. We'll be right back. Hour 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.